Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. I am so excited once again to bring you a Kingdom Woman speaker who has really some amazing things to share with you today and about how you can have a much, much more alive and vibrant and holy, hot, and happy marriage. Does that excite anyone? Does that interest anyone listening today? Well, I sure hope so, because it is going to be a topic that you're going to want to tune into and take some notes on. So my guest today is Karen Haysbert. She calls herself the queen reigning on her throne. She's the founder of Queens for Christ. She is a wife coach, a minister, and the hot, holy, happy marriage specialist to queens worldwide. She's the author of the book, Queen Arise, 40 Days to Liberating the Queen Within You, and the sizzling book for wives, What Ho Can Teach a Wife, real talk about creating your hot, holy, and happy marriage. Well, I know that we're going to find out more about Karen as we continue on here. So let me bring Karen to the stage. Hello, Karen.
Hey, Peace Queen Lisa. I am just super excited to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me.
You are most welcome. And I love that you call yourself a wife coach. It is very unique. I mean, it's totally makes sense in what you do, but it's very unique because most people would say, I'm a life coach for wives, or, you know, but I'm a wife coach.
Yes, we have to call a thing a thing.
Exactly. Well, listen, Karen, I know that I'm interested, and I know that there are women who are listening today who are interested in how did you get started in what you're doing today? Tell us a little bit about your journey, your story, and that brought you to becoming a wife coach.
Okay. So actually, I am a PK. I am a fourth generation minister of the gospel in my family. I like to say I was basically born on a pew. And over the years, I have been in ministry and various capacities ministering to women for over 20 years. And several years ago, I really started to feel the Lord calling me to go and do something that was mine. You know, I'd been always supporting other ministries and my parents' ministries. Both my parents are pastors. And I started out actually talking with women about living out their God dream, their purpose, what it is that God has called and created them to do. And the funny thing started happening. Women were always asking me about their marriages. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just answering questions and giving wisdom and direction on it. And then one day, a friend of mine who was a fellow coach, she actually coached wives who were new in marriage, newly married. She said, I want you to come and speak at my wives conference. And I was like, oh, okay. And it essentially, or at that time, I had written a post in my journal, 20 things that I've learned in 20 years of marriage. And I said, you know what? I just wrote this whole thing in my journal about, she's like, oh, that's perfect. So I went, Lisa, and I spoke at this wives conference, hadn't been focused specifically on wives at that point, but it was the easiest thing I had ever done. Wow. It was like breathing. And I was like, okay. And you know, when you're in business and you're trying to work out your messaging and trying to get everything, all your ducks in a row. I was like, for real, God, I just got my messaging right. And you now know, you're changing it again. I'm going to look like I'm jumping all over the place. I'm going to tell you, it was not my most shining moment of hear and obey. I was like, no, I'm not changing it again. But finally, I said yes. And it has just been a joy and a delight to be able to help women go from where I was to get to, as I say, their hot, holy, happy marriages. I was the wife who was married and miserable, okay? Desperately unhappy. And I am not even exaggerating. And Being able to go through that process to get to that hot, holy, happy marriage that God had started to speak to me about and speak to my heart about. I love to take women from that journey from there to there. So,
wow, I love that. And you know, just as you were talking about that, it was so easy. That's a clue, people, who, if you're listening today and you're wondering, what am I called to do? What are the things that just come easy to you, that lights you up when you do it? Because that's probably a clue that that's an area that you're called to walk in, that unique area. So that is really neat that you had that discovery as you stepped out. So let's talk a little bit about that. Before, when you were miserable in marriage, what was it that kept you hanging on?
I'll say there were a number of things. First, my parents had my dad passed away a couple of years ago. So my parents were married for 52 years, 11 months and 7 days. Like my mom knows to the day, and she always talks about that. She actually does marriage. We share on marriage together from our 75 years of marriage experience. And so I never had a model of divorce in front of me. So it was very difficult for me to reconcile even as miserable as I was. You know, and then of course, I did not want to displease God, but I will say a close second was I did not want to displease my parents, because I knew, you know, they really were rooting for us. They really, you know, they and I believed this was the right man for me. We prayed about it. We believed God together. And then a very close to all of that is children. I never wanted my children to have to experience the tearing apart, because that is what it is, the tearing apart of divorce. When we get married, the two become one, right? Mm-hmm. It is a process of becoming, but no matter what, when the one become two, there's a tearing apart. There's a lot of devastation that takes place as a result of that. So I got determined that I am going to do everything that I can and learn what I need to learn to become the woman that I need to become to have the hot, holy, happy marriage that God had spoken into my heart. And that's what kept me going.
So what I hear you saying is, first of all, your commitment to your covenant that you made, and then the community of faith around you, or the community of support around you that helped you stay true to that, instead of, nope, I'm not, it's not just about me. This community is standing with us. Is that right?
Absolutely. The community. And I mean, my husband's parents, they also were married for over 60 years. So there were a lot of people who were rooting for us, who were there and wanting us to succeed. Just we had to do the work, right? Yeah. But knowing that we had the support and was very important as well.
And what were some of the things that you found helped you make that transition from, you know, you made a statement a few minutes ago that you wanted to focus on cultivating that kind of a marriage that God had spoken to you about? What were some of the things that helped kind of tip the scales for you, for your marriage, maybe for your marriage, not just for you? Yeah,
absolutely. I think, but the biggest work is with you. Right. A lot of times we want to pull Frank together. That's my word I use for when the wives talk about the husband. We need to pull Frank together. No, we need to get you together. Right. I had to learn that the only person that I could change was me. And I was having a hard job doing that.
Yeah.
So trying to change my husband was useless, right? It really is not my job. Yeah. And so the first thing I had to do was resign as God Jr.
That's good.
I had to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you are the one who does the perfecting. I am going to yield. I resign. Here's my resignation paper, right?
That's good.
I am going to resign from trying to be God in my husband's life, trying to make him do or be anything. And I'm going to turn my focus on me. I will tell you what was a pivotal moment for me. I was going to hear a friend of mine speaking at the wife coaches conference, her first conference. I had gone as an attendee, hearing a friend of mine speak. And the conference host, she did a session on living the vows. And she started talking about, you know, I want you to imagine yourself saying, I, Karen, you know, I insert your name. So I, Karen, take you, Brian. And it was something that happened as I was imagining that. It was almost like I was sucker punched, like, like everything went in slow motion. Like, and I realized that what I was not doing, I was not taking Brian. I was not taking all of him. Now, I'm not talking about taking a whole bunch of foolishness or yeah. abuse or anything, but I was not accepting of all of him. I wanted strong Brian. I did not want Brian who had weaknesses. I wanted confident Brian. I didn't want Brian who was doubting or felt some sort of fear. And I realized that I was not unconditionally loving and accepting him. Okay. That was me. And I had to own that, me and God. And so when I left that conference, I made a decision. I'm going to love and accept him. And I went home that night. My husband is a caterer and he had gone out really early that morning. And so he was actually home. It was dusk when I got back. And he was taking like just a little rest. Guess he drifted off. And I went into the bedroom and I knelt at his feet. I said, Brian, I am so, so sorry. Wow. I realized today that I've not been living up to our vows. I have not been taking you, all of you. And I know he thought he was being punked. He was like... What? He thought he was dreaming. He's like shaking his head, like, huh?
Your camera's on here somewhere.
Where's Ashton Kutcher or whatever the young man's name is? And we really had a conversation, and you know, our hearts really began to open up. At least I know mine was wide open because I realized for probably one of the first times that I was part of the problem more than I thought, right? I was so focused on his failings and his shortcomings and what he didn't do and what he said and all of that, that I wasn't seeing, you know, the whole thing about you pointing a finger at someone, there's three pointing back at you and a thumb, right? Yeah. I wasn't seeing my part. And so that self-awareness and that responsibility and that accountability to God for me changing me to fully love and accept him, to live my vows, and to do what I could do to be the best woman and then the best wife was what I had to start with.
Beautiful. I love that. And you're so right on that, is that we are only responsible for our choices in terms of how we respond to what God gives us. And we're only responsible for our heart, right? And as we tend over our heart and our actions, God will hold the others responsible for theirs. It's not our job to change them. So I love that because it's so true. I think a lot of women get caught up in that. Well, if only he would do this, then I would do this. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because my therapist, I believe in Jesus and therapy, Christ and counseling. Okay. So we both have therapists, right? Because here's my thing. And I say this all the time. We will take our car in to get the oil changed and lube and all of that every so amount of miles. But we wait until we are fighting like cats and dogs and on the edge of divorce before we go
That's
and
true.
talk to someone to get some help with our marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage needs maintenance, right? I told a wife this week, I asked her, I said, you know, the greatest enemy to a great marriage is a good one. It's good. It's not bad. We're killing it in our community, you know. So, you know, it doesn't have to be passionate. We don't fight badly. No. But God wants us to have a great marriage. He
Exactly.
wants us to be excellent. We are the ones that people are supposed to look on us, you know, and say, I want what she has, right? But if we're just like everybody else in the world, how do we as kingdom women, kingdom men, stand out and be a light in the earth or salt in the earth? How are we discernibly different, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's supposed to be a reflection of the relationship between, the body of Christ and Jesus. It's like the mystery. Our relationship in marriage is
Yes.
actually meant to reflect the relationship between God and his bride. And so
Absolutely.
that's
But let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. What if Jesus would have been like, yeah, you all right, you know. I don't know. I'll die. No, maybe you could just slap my hand for you. I'm not going to die for you. What? What if he wasn't willing to give his all for us? Where would we be? So if we look at that, our marriages are supposed to represent this relationship between Christ and the body. Christ laid down his life for us. Christ gave his very best for us. So that's the intensity and the passion that we should go for with our relationships. Mediocre is not okay for the kingdom.
So good. So good. It's so good. Preach it. It's so true.
Amen.
We settle for so much less than what we're designed for and what God has intended for us to have. So let's talk a little bit about that aspect, the spiritual connection with your spouse. What role does that play in having this hot, holy, and happy marriage?
So, I say hot first because a lot of times the hot is that, ooh, that little
Yeah,
a little spark, like you didn't say, oh my God, he just prayed down heaven. That's how I got him on my radar. It's usually like, oh, look at those shoulders. You know, there's something that you saw that there was a chemistry and a spark. But I say that your spiritual intimacy really needs to be the foundation of it all, right? How can two walk together except they be agreed? And as believers, as kingdom men and women, we want Christ to unify us and the Word of God to be the foundation that we stand on, that we both can turn to, right?
That's good.
I should be able to look in the mirror of the Word and see, how am I doing? And he should be able to look in the mirror of the Word and say, how am I doing, right? In terms of me as a person, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a friend, as a worker, all of those things. So I think it's so important for us to emphasize our spiritual intimacy. How is your relationship with you and God? Because God is the threefold cord that causes us to not be easily broken. He's that cord between us. So what's your prayer life like as individuals? But as a couple, you know, there was a study done that the divorce rate among couples who pray together daily is less than 1%. Less than 1%. How come nobody's talking about that? Less than 1%. I'm not saying you go and go to your war room and he goes to his. I mean together. And I tell couples, wives, that start where you are. If it's we're gonna hold hands and pray silently, start there. If it's we're gonna pray together, in the bed at night before we go to sleep, start there. One of the things my husband and I do is we pray every morning together. We'll set aside time to pray together. And then we also pray again before he leaves for work. I work at home. And so we grab hands and pray again before he leaves at work to bless each other's day. Mm-hmm. But it has to be something that you do daily. Why? Because I want God to be at the forefront of my mind when I'm dealing mm-hmm. with my husband and vice versa. Because if he's not there, it's easy to get in the flesh.
Right.
And marriage, when we're in the flesh, marriage does not work.
Mm-hmm.
It just wow. doesn't.
Wow. So let's transition to that part then. So there's this spiritual connection as our foundation, the glue mm-hmm. that holds us together in that regard. And then what about the physical intimacy? How important is that?
The hotness, as I say. So, so very important. You know, I talk about in my book that a lot of times, well, the word of God says that we're supposed to dwell together or in all of our getting, get understanding. So we need to understand one another when it comes to that. And it tells husbands to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. And when it comes to sexual intimacy, that a lot of times there's some sort of misfire because one, there's not communication. Mm-hmm. Where did you get your knowledge from? You know, what you talked about in the locker room and looked at on videos and all this foolishness, let's just tell the truth. The barbershop talk, that is not real. Mm-hmm. That is not real. So there has to be an openness and communication mm-hmm. because I always say this, that God, everything that God made is said, it wasn't just good. It was very good. Right?
Exactly.
God made sex, not just for our procreation, but for our recreation. Okay? Because it was supposed to unify us and yes. join us. It is a part of the two becoming one flesh. Mm-hmm. It is a vital means of communication. We communicate our love, our desire for one another yeah. through sexual intimacy. And I say it is so important that most of us need to be having more sexual intimacy than we're having.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to make it a priority yeah. in our lives. If we have to schedule it. We got to get creative. But it must be important. I say that I say it in the book, your real spiritual intimacy is an expression of your inner lives together. So if there is no fire in the sheets, there probably is not any fire in the streets.
That's so good. I love that because there are some of these mindsets within even the Christian community and Christian marriages where, you know, after a period of time, you don't have sex together, or as you longer married, it just kind mm-hmm. of wanes, and you know, all of that, all of those things. And you think, oh, you know, there's a reason and there's a season for it. But what I hear you saying is that no, this is a vital part mm-hmm. of that union that God has brought together, of an expression of that love and intimacy that needs to be nurtured and cultivated ongoing.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, I'm not saying that there are not challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, you mm-hmm. go through the years when you have yeah. your children.
Yeah.
And you're busy, running all the time. So that's where we have to put it on creative. Our schedules.
Right.
If you have to be creative. Exactly. If you got to go see your OBGYN, you don't just show up at the office.
Right.
I'm ready
right.
to get my pap smear. No, you made an appointment, right? So you may have to make some appointments to make sure. And you've got to be constantly talking about it. Now, I've seen all things. I've seen our wives where they're starting to wane off, and I see wives where they're starting to ramp up. You know, sometimes as we get mm-hmm. older, we're more comfortable with ourselves, our bodies. We become the ones who's running after him.
Yes.
And he's like, wait a minute, because he's maybe his testosterone is starting to mm-hmm. wane. So there are a number of scenarios, but here's the deal. No one person's level of desire should control it. It should be something where there is a happy medium, and it's something that we both have to take responsibility for communicating clearly about and sharing what works for me, right? But making it a priority, and I'm not just saying that it's all about sex, because a very important thing for many women is just affection, non-sexual touching, cuddling,
That's right.
holding hands, all whatever type of affection that you have, putting his arm around your waist and just giving you a kiss on the neck, or cards, flowers, whatever type of affectionate expression. So just, I think the big thing that I have found with a lot of wives is they are not asking for the things that they really desire, or they're not asking in a way that he can receive it. I say, I had to learn man speak. And that is very important in how we talk to our kings, our kingdom brothers and husbands, so that they can receive what it is that we want and not be turned off by the way. Tone is very important to men. Extremely. It's almost even more important than what you say, how you say it.
Exactly. I'm a speaking coach and I tell my clients that all the time. It's the words are one thing, but how you say it has so much more weight and so much more emotion.
Absolutely.
So that is so true. And I think this is a topic we could go on and on and out because, we could also look at the flip side when it's not happening, when there isn't a prioritizing of that physical intimacy, what impact does that have on the relationship? And, there's a whole discussion around that. Is there something you want to say about that?
Yeah, I think that what I have seen and experienced at points before is when there is a lack of sexual intimacy, what it can do is cause your spouse to feel like, do they desire me? Do they find me attractive anymore? Do they want me? And that is a place of rejection that you don't want your spouse to feel at all. So really considering, what are the stumbling blocks to our sexual intimacy? What's the part that I can own is my issue? Because it could be an issue. Like many women, was sexually violated when I was a little girl. And just had to work through some of those things, the shame. I was also a single mother. Here I am, the preacher's kid. What the preacher's kid doing pregnant? You know what I mean? So I had a number of things that I had to work through in terms of shame connected to my own sexuality, that, I'm thinking, oh, well, this is done. It's under the blood. But I'd say this to the women that I work with, what if it's under the blood but still bleeding? You can't sweep over that. You got to go and actually deal with what happened, deal with the stories you're telling yourself about it, whatever the enemy may be whispering in your mind about what that meant, and allow God to do the inner healing so that you can, as I said, I went from sexual violation to sexual liberation, honey. Honey.
In a holy, hot, and happy way.
Hey, that's right. That's right.
That's so cool. No, and I just concur with that. I think that's really important for our listeners to really reflect on too, is that are there mindsets that are holding them back from even being able to see a healthy understanding of physical intimacy because of experiences or messages that they had or role models, whatever it might be, or things that they've been exposed to in their life that might be blocking you from being able to actually receive the fullness of what God intended for you in your marriage in this area?
Yes, I think that is so important, because when I go back to what I said when we started this, everything that God made was not just good, it was very good. And it has a purpose for us. There's a reason why he said, this is the only person you're supposed to share this with. This is unique and special to your relationship. So if he made it just for you and your spouse, don't you think you should be doing it? You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so that is the thing that I want us to consider, that this is drawing me closer to my spouse. This beautiful sacred act is not just physical, it's spiritual.
Yeah. That's so good. Now, Karen, I know that you do speak and your message is all about this. And for those listening today, in terms of how you help Christian wives to save their marriages or to be able to be proactive in not having their marriages in trouble, but and you call yourself or you're known as the hot, holy, happy marriage specialist because not because you've had a marriage that's been stellar for 25 years, but because you've personally walked through a journey from, like you said, from being married and miserable to hot, holy, and happy, and have that conviction, that calling that God has put on you in order to help other wives as well. When you know, a lot of my audience are women who want to really up their game in speaking. And of course, I'm a speaking coach. So this is an area where I'm always interested in how women, when they began to develop their speaking, what are some of the things that really helped you to become a more effective communicator, but also a skill that you feel like is something that you want to pass on to someone who's just starting out in speaking? What is something that you found was very, very valuable for you to learn or to embrace as you speak?
I will say that when I first started speaking, I actually was still in that state where I was so fearful of rejection. And so I was the person who had to have everything right, every I dotted every T crossed. It had to be perfect. I actually used to, Lisa, I used to write out word for word exactly what I'm going to say. And I would be actually reading it, even though I didn't look like I was reading it, but I really was, because I didn't want to mess up, right? And I remembered when the Lord, when I started speaking and doing things on social media, remember Periscope?
Yes. Seems like ages ago, but
I
moving
know.
on.
And so I was doing different things a little bit on social media, but mostly like posts and memes and join me for the free conference call thing. No one had to see me. I was
Yeah.
even terrified on the free conference call thing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's almost like when you want to teach someone to swim, you just got to throw them into the pool. So I had been hearing these coaches talking about, you need to get on Periscope, you need to go on every day. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know, I don't know. So I was at a conference here locally, and I said, I'm going to give myself some social pressure. So I went on my Facebook page and I said, hey, I'm going to be going live on Periscope starting tomorrow, every day for 30 days. I was in the conference. This was a Saturday afternoon, and I felt like, wow, I really feel itchy. What is going on? No joke, I broke out in hives. I was so nervous. I broke out literally, first time ever in my life,
Wow.
I broke out in hives. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And but I had made a commitment and I had given myself some social pressure. So you know what I did? I put on some foundation. put some powder on, and I just went ahead and jumped in. Like, I'm the kind of person who I don't want to drink out the water fountain. Give me the fire hose. I jumped in and I went live every day, not once a day, twice a day
Wow.
for 30 days. And because I made a commitment every day to speak, I did not have time to write anything out word for word and this whole script or anything. All I had time for was, God, speak to me. What do you want me to talk about? Give me 3 points. Okay, I got it. And I had to develop the skill of knowing, one, that I'm good enough. Two, if I have the mic, I'm the person who should be speaking. speaking, right? And I don't have to be perfect. Whatever it is that God has deposited in me is enough for who God wants it to be, wants it to be deposited into, right? Mm-hmm. And I began to draw from the wells of salvation down on the inside of me. See, my mother led me to the Lord when I was 7 years old. So I've been in church all my life, been in the Word just about all of my adult life. And I had to trust that the God in me is enough.
Right.
It's enough. Yeah. And of course, after that, it broke that spirit of fear off of me. So that now I don't have a fear. Like there's a little butterfly, even getting on here, I was like, ooh, I feel my heart beating a little bit. But that's because I honor and respect you. I respect the opportunity to share with your community. And I'm honored to do that. But it's not because of fear. It's not because of fear. So one of the things that I would say is if you're wanting to speak, first of all, you need to be working with Lisa. Queen Lisa is the one. And step outside of the fear. As the saying goes, feel the fear and do it anyway. I always say this, that fear only guards loaded vaults.
Wow.
Like there's a treasure.
I love that.
You know what I mean? There's a treasure there.
Exactly.
So you need to go ahead and do it because of the fear, right? Exactly. So I the other thing I had to accept my calling that this is what I'm supposed to be speaking. Whether I wanted to speak or not was irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The gift is in me for others.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to do this because I personally believe this is from the book of Karen. You didn't know it was 67 books to the Bible. that before I came here, I said yes to the assignment. So whatever God is asking me to do now, this is not the first time that I'm being presented with this question. Mm-hmm. I already said yes on the other side when he said, who shall I send?
That's so good.
I said, me.
That's so good. Yeah.
Please pick me. Okay. Now I'm here. I'm going to say no. No.
That's so good. Yes. It just reminding us of who we are. So what I hear you saying is that confidence in knowing what God has called you to do, who you are, and stepping into that, believing that he's going to give you everything you need as you purpose in your heart to become the very best communicator that you, to be able to deliver that message that you're meant to deliver. Yes. And I'm so glad because your message is so vital. It is, you know, one of the things that I know in the last couple of years, and you've probably heard this too, of all the damage that's happened in our society in the last couple of years, marriages have really taken a hit. And if nothing else, you need to invest in those important relationships, the ones that are closer to you, your family, your spouse. Your spouse is number one after Jesus. You know, you need to really invest in that because the enemy does not want you to reflect who God is and the relationship that he's intended for you to have. So I want to encourage you if you're listening today and that you know that you, that there are some things that you would like to work on as a wife, that you want to have someone to coach you along in your journey as becoming that happy, that hot, holy, and happy wife that God wants you to be, then I want to encourage you to connect with Karen. I'm going to put up her website here as well. Karen, I'm just going to put up your book because you also wrote a book. Tell us a little bit about this book before we close out. What a hoe can teach a wife. Now that's a pretty amazing book. Really eye-catching title there. So you got to explain this.
Okay. So here's what happened. I was reading the book of Proverbs and I was in this chapter and I'm just listening to how this woman had just captivated this young man. And, you know, he was just eating out of her hands, right? And I said to myself, ain't that what a hoe can teach a wife? And the Lord said, that's the name of your next book. And I said, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I was like, oh no, these church people are not going to crucify me. But I'm telling you, I knew that the Lord said to call it that. And what I did, one of my dear friends had a marriage conference down in Florida. It wasn't a marriage conference. I'm sorry. It was just a women's conference. And I was there speaking on a panel, nothing to do with marriage or anything. But all these wonderful women on there, I was almost feeling like, what am I doing here? Shaquille O'Neal's mother and this big judge in the city and a big financial person. And I was just like, okay. And me, I was like, okay. So I'm introducing myself. Hey, yes, I'm so glad to be here. My friend, the pastor, yells from the front row, tell them the name of your new book. And I had not written a word. I had just called my book designer, said, hey, here's how I want the cover. Just mock me up one. I literally had, it wasn't on a poster. I printed it off on cardstock in the church office and just had it on my table. And so I said, I'm just going to do some pre-sales and just see what happens. I'm telling you, just powerful panel, all of that. I go to my table and the women were wrapped around the church. Like, this is not a little church. This is a 2,500 seat church. They were just wrapped around waiting. I was like, oh, okay. I guess they do want this book.
Wow.
And I sold more pre-orders of that book, What a Ho Can Teach a Wife. Real wow. Talk about creating your hot, holy, happy marriage. In that one time, then my first book for 3 months.
Wow. Wow. That's so good.
And so it's just been a journey of saying yes and doing things regardless of whether how it looked. I literally have maybe had two people in years who were like, I don't know about, most people like, yeah, yes. I want to get that. So it's been a blessing to be able to share. And I do share a lot about myself and my journey and the things that I've learned and really what does God's word say as well. How to be hot, your sexual chemistry and intimacy, how to be holy, your spiritual oneness and unity, and how to be happy. Because I say this, if I'm not going to be happy, then what is the point? What is the point?
Exactly.
God wants us to be happily married. So
that's so good. That's so. So we'll put the link down in the show notes. Get that book. I'm going to get my copy for sure. And awesome, now here's another free resource that you can access. Karen, tell us a little bit about this. 31 days.
Yes. So one of the things that the wives in my community, which you can get to at hotholyhappy.com, that's my Facebook group, they always love about prayers. We all know that prayer works. Yeah. And so I put together a free e-guide, 31 days to your hot, holy, happy marriage, 31 prayers. Just guides to kind of get you started, 31 different areas for you to pray with and for one another in marriage. And I hope you grab that at KarenHaysburg.com/31days.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Those are great resources for everyone to pick up and go there and get those things. Thank you so much, Karen. What a joy. What a joy to have you, and definitely have to have you back on again. You've given us so much to think about and just reframing this whole area of God's desire and design for a godly marriage that's filled with the Spirit of God and that's thriving with love and life and liberty in the areas that God has called us. So thank you so much for what you do and for saying yes to the calling.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. I have just so enjoyed this, and I will come back anytime at all.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. Make sure you check out the links down below for the show notes to get those free resources and to go and find out more about Karen and find out what she can help you and what her services, what her programs, what her expertise can help you in your marriage so that you can shine and be a bright light to those around you in your marriage. So thank you everyone for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time.